So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Robbie Lula.
He talks basketball on 1620 The Zone. His name's Robbie Lula, and he's on the phone. Robbie Lula, Robbie Lula. He is here to talk Creighton basketball.
Robbie Lula, the host of our pregame coverage of Creighton basketball here on 1620 The Zone, and of course, our good friend who joins us every Thursday at 2:45. Robbie, good afternoon.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey! Well, not bad. We had college football's version of John Chaney versus John Calipari. this one wasn't quite, you know, one guy in the same room with the other. This was basically dueling press conferences, but I'm curious what you thought of the whole thing last night and today, and why all of a sudden these guys who tend to be a little controlled with their message and try not to go there, try not to call people out, why all of a sudden they're starting to go there?
Well, I think part of it, for me at least, is the fact that you have a guy like Nick Saban who is on top of the college football world as it was previously, as the system previously was aligned, right? He had basically as much power as you could possibly have, as much success as you could possibly have, and as much status as you could possibly have. If you're the guy that's the king of that system, you probably want to keep that system, right? Like, that would make sense. You're like, yeah, let's keep doing the thing that I'm better at everyone else than by a factor of like 3 or 4. I'm awesome at this. Why would we ever change? And then it all changes underneath you. And yeah, there's probably, I don't know if panic is the right word, but certainly anger. I think that was clear. Frustration, and maybe even just a little bit of worry that, okay, will I be able to continue with my status and my position in this new world of college football? And so I think it leads to people lashing out in ways that you normally wouldn't see. And it's really not about college football. It's about kind of the power dynamics between these college football coaches. And they are less powerful now than they have been probably in any time in the last 20 to 30 years. And they don't like it.
Robbie, do you hear those quotes from Saban and all and think that, like, he's losing, like, I don't want to say an edge or his grasp on the sport, but you know how it can be, man, if you're participating in something and if you're focused on the wrong thing and you're not maybe focused on the task at hand, and by the time that October 8th rolls around, I just can't help but wonder if you know, this gives, you know, A&M maybe a bit of an advantage, but perhaps I'm just reaching for something here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much that happens in May is actually going to affect what happens in October. But I do think Saban is kind of missing the point here, because it's not like Alabama lacks for resources. First of all, I don't believe for a second that their boosters aren't paying out of the nose for the recruits and the players that they have. Don't believe that for a minute. And if they aren't, he should make them do that. Like, he's got as much booster power and booster money as any program in the country. Yes, even as much as A&M, even as much as Texas. Alabama boosters could get anything done they wanted in the world. And if either Saban's not allowing them to do that or encouraging them to do that, then that's a Saban problem. Like, this new world order of college football should be catered that Alabama would continue to dominate. They have all of the resources to continue to dominate. And the fact that he's just sitting here either just straight up lying about the fact that A&M is paying off for their players and Alabama isn't, or so delusional that he thinks he shouldn't be paying his players, then that's just a total miss on his part.
Robbie Lula joining us here on Unsportsmanlike Conduct. Why do you suppose the timing, like right now, like it's May? Not that these coaches are looking, well, you know, we gotta keep our names in the headlines. I don't think they're necessarily, you know, thinking about those types of things. But why is it happening now?
Yeah, so I think it might be a little more strategic than that. You know, we heard, it was a couple weeks ago, that the NCAA wanted to start retroactively dealing in NIL after they were pretty much just like, hey, you're on your own. So I'm wondering if this is Saban maybe laying the groundwork to try and get other schools in trouble for this. That's the only thing I can think of, is that the NCAA, who is backwards on everything and has turned this into a total cluster, is starting to put its toes in the water of like, oh, maybe you were tampering before this guy signed you. Maybe this isn't how we wanted NIL to go. And Saban's just feeding, you know, his opponents or his rivals to the Sharks in hopes that their appetites are filled before they get to Tuscaloosa.
Ravi, I wanted to ask you about Baylor Shireman. We quoted that story earlier this week. I know you've had a chance to see it. There's suddenly, like, now a conversation that maybe wasn't there when he announced that he was going to join Creighton about him moving on to the pros. I talked to somebody this week that said, you know, maybe 75-25 leaning Creighton, whereas at one point it was a lot closer to 100%. I guess, what did you make of what he had to say earlier this week and what it could mean for the Jays?
I mean, I think Baylor's messaging has been fairly consistent that he wanted the NBA to be his top priority. And if he thought he was going to have a chance to play in the NBA, that was going to be his choice. I think that's been pretty consistent from Baylor's standpoint. From the actual NBA standpoint, I think what's changed is, from my understanding, some of the private workouts went pretty well. I know he was a little up and down in some of the G League combine games, and he didn't get the invite up to the big combine, but the private workouts are really where you're going to get those guarantees that he's looking for. He wants a guarantee that he's going to be picked sometime in those two rounds and not have to leave it up to the undrafted free agent situation. And so it's from the sounds of things and kind of a little bit change in tone around him, I would imagine that at least some of those workouts have gone well. I don't know if he's gotten that guarantee that he's looking for. I know overall the scouting process has him like unlikely to be drafted, but if a team falls in love with him in the late second round, you know, kind of the same way Toronto did with Delano Banton out of Nebraska last year, it really only takes the one team to offer that guarantee that they'll pick you up late in the draft. So I would agree. I probably would have put it 70-30 somewhere in there this week, that he comes to Creighton, whereas 2 weeks ago I was probably in the 90-10 range. I still think it's more likely he comes to Creighton than not, but there is a significant chance that he decides to take his chances with the NBA.
The thing about it is, I know what he said about, you know, wanting some kind of a guarantee. There is no guarantee anyone gets drafted. You have no idea how a draft is going to go.
Yeah.
Until it actually plays out. You know, unless
Chet Holmgren knows he's going to get drafted.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. The lottery guys, they know they're getting drafted. But everybody else, forget about it. I mean, you have no idea what's happening. So I almost wonder if, you know, if it's also another way of just him saying, well, if I hear from a team or certain teams that, you know, there's going to be an opportunity for me. Maybe not so much being drafted, but just an opportunity, whether it's G League, whether it's, you know, NBA free agent tryout, or maybe even if it's something overseas.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if the feedback he was getting was going overseas if he didn't come to Creighton.
Right.
I'd be really surprised by that. You know, I would even be surprised if the feedback was, yeah, looks like your only path is going to be undrafted free agent, move through the G League. I'd be a little surprised there as well. If he hears back, and listen, maybe guarantee is the right word. I use that word because that's the word Baylor used. But I think promise, which, again, promises aren't ironclad, but it's probably a more accurate term. They're like, hey, if you fall to us in this situation, we promise that we want to pick you. Now, again, that doesn't always work out either, but it seems a little softer than the word guarantee. If you get promises from a couple different teams that they want to pick you late in the second round, that's the scenario where I see him maybe moving on and going to the pros. If it seems like he's going to be an undrafted free agent, even if it does seem pretty safe that he's going to get an opportunity, which I would say it is, I think he would get an undrafted free agent opportunity to work his way through the G League. I don't know if that's enough, because that opportunity will be the exact same next year, and he has the opportunity to improve his stock. I think worst-case scenario for him is he gets a chance to go to the G League and he tries to work his way through the NBA there, and that's going to be there regardless of if he goes this year or next year. So to me, that doesn't seem like the opportunity he's looking for in order to bypass a year at Creighton, if that makes sense. I think if it's an undrafted situation, he probably comes back.
Robbie Lula joining us here on Sportsmanlike Conduct, live from Tiburon Golf Course, part of the First Tee Omaha Free Kids Clinic here this afternoon. Obviously, when the Jays went after him and talked to him and looked for assurances, both parties looking for assurances from each other, that the Mac and the coaches had to know that there's always the possibility that he decides to stay pro. Do you think there is a plan B if Shireman decides to stay in the draft or does decide to go pro? Or was this like more like super plan A that, we already knew what we had coming back. That was what we were going to go with. Now, with Shireman, it's like super plan A. Is there really a backup plan? Or was there ever a backup plan to begin with?
It is my understanding that there is a backup plan. There is another player out there that is also kind of going through the same process, but is much more likely to come back to college. This is kind of just like a for the other player that I'm on. My understanding is that Creighton is targeting is more of a, hey, what do I need to improve on to have a shot at being drafted next year type situation. To my understanding, there was a pretty high level of transparency with this player that Baylor was their first option, but that he may go end up going pro, and that if that happens, there would be a spot for him at Creighton. I don't know that I'm at liberty to say a name, but I am pretty confident that there is a backup plan in place. Whether they end up just deciding to roll with who they've got, that still seems like a possibility to me, because the minutes, and we've talked about this, the rotation starts to get pretty hairy in terms of where do all these guys fit in. But I think their preference would be to bring in another guy, even though that it seems as though there's maybe not enough minutes to go around. We've seen how many times where you're like, where are we going to get all the minutes? Is there enough basketballs on the team for this guy? And then, heaven forbid you have an injury or two and all of a sudden you only go seven deep. We've seen that enough to know that you can't have enough good players. So I would anticipate they pursue their plan B pretty aggressively if Baylor Shireman ends up staying in the draft.
Ravi, I did want to ask you about the NBA playoffs, and I'm going to keep it short and sweet. What in the world happened to the Phoenix Suns in Game 7?
That's about as bad of a Game 7 performance as I've maybe ever seen. There's only a couple that come to mind that are that bad. The Lakers losing to the Celtics in 08 in the finals. In Game 7 comes to mind also. But it's pretty damning for the Chris Paul as the point guard, best point guard of all time camp. Because at a certain point, and listen, I'm not blaming this all on Chris Paul, although he did play really poorly for large chunks of that series. At a certain point, if you're the best of all time at a position, you probably need a championship, at least one, to certify those results. And it looks less and less likely. Like, this was kind of the year. I don't know, they run it back, but what are they going to do with DeAndre Ayton? It sounds like there was quite a bit of dysfunction on this team in the last month or so that I'm not totally sure where it came out of. I think there's some issues with the Ayton contract situation where he's unhappy. I know their ownership has been going through some controversies as well, where I don't know if that's filtering down to the team at all, but it sounds like in the last few weeks there is a level of dysfunction within that team that made things a little bit more difficult than they were during the regular season. I also think they maybe just pressed on the gas a little bit too hard during the regular season to have that. I mean, they had an incredible regular season with 64 wins, and, you know, maybe they should have paced themselves a little bit better. We've seen that a couple times in recent history with teams that maybe revved too high during the regular season and didn't have enough left for the playoffs. But honestly, it was just one of the worst Game 7. And Game 6 wasn't that much better. One of the worst performances from a – I mean, 64 wins is put you in the like top 20 win totals of all time. I mean, this is a historic kind of collapse for a team that was, you know, if you win 65 games, I'm mind that they won 64. If you win 65 games, you're almost guaranteed to make the finals historically. So for them not to even make their conference finals is pretty damning. And the list of series where Chris Paul was up 2-0 and ended up blowing it, I believe is at 5 now. And he's been the better team, I think, all 5 of those, if I remember correctly. It's a pretty tough look for the Chris Paul point guard camp.
I'm almost starting to wonder if Shaq and Charles are just fighting just to keep audience numbers up because the first couple of
like
games.
Like Jimbo and Saban.
Yeah, first couple of games haven't been terribly enticing. It's a big blowouts. Then I remember that Shaq and Charles fight all the time.
They're like brothers.
Yeah.
They really are. Yeah.
And at the end of the day.
I thought the Warriors game was incredibly entertaining last night. I enjoyed that immensely.
I'm sure you did.
He says while wearing a Warriors hat.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Robbie. Well, enjoy the rest of the series. We'll talk to you next week. And
he's actually in for you tomorrow.
That's right. Robbie's in tomorrow
on
Friday. So you get to enjoy One Beer Friday and all the accoutrements that go with it.
That's the only reason I agree to Friday shows.
Indeed. It's the only reason I come to work either.
For the beer?
For the beer. Because I know on a Friday I'll get one of them. It's what keeps me coming back.
All the time.
Yep.
Robbie, take care. Thanks for filling in tomorrow, and we'll hear from you tomorrow.
All right. See you, boys.
Hi, Robbie.
Robbie Lula joining us here on Unsportsmanlike Conduct. In here this afternoon, Sam Cook has retired.
Oh, they just drafted a punter.
He is one of, if not the longest tenured NFL former Huskers ever. 16 years.
Ooh.
I would look it up, but it's hard to see outdoors with the computer. But he's right up there. I mean, Irving Fryer played a long time. Mick Tinglehoff played a long time. Ron McDowell played a long time. Pat Fisher played a long time. Ooh, and someone just threw their club. That was impressive. That was impressive.
Huh?
As the kids are learning how to play golf.
Yeah, they are.
The first thing you learn, good grip.
Got to hold on to the
golf
club, John. You
got to have good grips.
But you want to have soft hands as well. You don't want to squeeze too hard.
Right.
Yeah, so, you got to learn those
things.
Listen,
I remember I that was my first golf lesson. It came from Judge Schmales. You got to make sure those grips are good.
Ha!
Otherwise, the club goes flying and it hits the poor lady sitting up on the deck having her iced tea.
Yeah, you don't want that.
But Sam Cook has retired. And kind of makes sense considering that Baltimore drafted a punter.
Indeed. Indeed, indeed.
We are live at Tiburon for the First Tee Omaha Free Kids Golf Instruction. Come on out. There is plenty of room for you and time to come join us just off 168th Street here in Gretna. Just drive on up Clubhouse Road, and you'll find us. You'll see us on top of the hill, and that's where everything's taking place here this afternoon. Come on by, and while you're at it, you can also donate, and every $10 donation to Share Omaha gets you put into a drawing that will get you eligible for some great prizes, a lot of great golf prizes.
Yeah.
Like some FootJoy, some Adidas, some Under Armour gear.
$5,000 worth,
and I see there's a bunch of stuff sitting up there on the table over
Ooh,
there.
Ooh, I see some kicks.
I see some golf bags, so a lot of stuff here at Tiburon. Bring the kids out and learn the game of golf from great golf instructors here. Later in the program, Ryan Vermeer, who just got done with his round Unfortunately, the back half wasn't as good as the front half. Well, actually, I think it may have been identical.
He went in a 5-over, right?
Oh wait, no, that's the actual par. Yeah, he finished his round at 5-over. I don't remember if he started front nine or back nine. I think he started front or back nine. So he had bogeys on the last three holes.
Mm.
But yeah, he did. He started on the back nine today and then finished on the front nine. So unfortunately, 5-over today. But a rare opportunity to talk to someone who just got done with a round.
Seriously.
At a major.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is indeed.
So Ryan will join us later in the program coming up after 5. We still have some more of the Jimbo Fisher audio. We also have Robin Washit to come, and more reaction to this first of 100 days to college football.
You love to see it, folks.
Well, you love to see the fighting. You don't love to see the fact that you're trying to kill my summer.
I'm not trying to kill it. I'm just pointing out that every day that passes is one fewer day
of summer
to college football.
On 1620 The Zone.
Hey, everyone. Josh Peterson here for my friends at Kugler Vision. You know, when you are out at the golf course, when you are on the driving range, when you are learning to play golf, whatever you're doing, you need to be able to see. Those are the important things, especially if you're driving the ball 300 yards. You're searching. Sometimes, if you're like me, you're losing the ball in the rough. Well, Kugler Vision can help you enjoy golf a whole lot more when you get out and play, not to mention all of the other things that you will enjoy because you will see and you will not have the hassles of glasses or contacts, that continual payment that you have to make every year. Perhaps you have vision insurance as well. Find out about the 7 different procedures that they offer at Kugler Vision, which of those is best for you. Flexible payment plans, very affordable, and of course they do a great job. It's been over 4 years since I had my procedure done. Time for you to do the same. Give them a call at 402-558-2211 or find out more information today at their website, kuglervision.com.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.